Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Who's that? Who's that? Dean or Hugo?
Hugh, this is Hugo.
Hello, mate.
Hi, Hugo. This is Dave. How you doing? And is that who's the shoutier one? Is that Dean?
We're both shouty, man. I'm the northerner, he's the southerner.
We couldn't tell.
Yeah. So I've got a question, which is, so someone told me this theory about 10 years ago, which is that teams are generally named. If you say, like, working with Rich and Andy or Tom. They generally say the larrier one, the mouthier one first. So how are you known? Is it Hugo and Dean or Dean and Hugo? And is that true?
Hugo and Dean, old boy.
Is it fuck? It just sounds better, but depends who's had a drink, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we go by, I'm the tall one and he's the short one.
It's a different system. It's a visual system, the audio. Well, you're coming up as Hugo and Dean, so I'm just wondering whether Hugo is the larrier one of the two.
I'm the polite one.
You're probably going to find out, making your own decision.
Yeah, I'd put my money on Dean at the moment so far. We're 3 minutes in. I'm thinking it should be Dean and Hugo by that system.
I was speaking to Tony the other day, Tony Malcolm. And they were always known as
Guy and Tony. Tony and Guy?
Tony and Guy. And they said they tried for years to switch it the other way around because they were associated with the hairdressers. But no, they just stuck with Tony and Guy with them.
Yeah, we know those two lads just through work experience at Wydens. We fucking loved them, man. They just smoke cigarettes and go in that little shed, and then one of them would sleep, and then they would just come up with fucking genius ideas.
They'll be delighted at being called lads.
Yeah,
we love them, man.
So are you guys on Dumbo? I've only been aware of Dumbo for about a year, but I went there a little while ago. That's where 72 and Sunny, isn't it, in Dumbo?
Yeah.
Do you know David Goss?
No, we just did a little chicken tikka masala curry thing on Zoom with a couple of lads, and he was on, actually. I know him only through you, because I think you mentioned him once, and then I started digging into him, so we spoke a few times, but yeah, he was at 72 and Sonny.
Yeah.
Chris Groom and Guy Featherstone do a little cooking class.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we did one on last Saturday. Guy Featherstone took us through how to make a curry.
And then Groomy's civilised, aren't you?
Yeah, Groomy's doing something this Saturday.
Bakewell tart.
Bakewell tart, proper British.
How is your cooking going then?
Terrible.
It hasn't improved in the lockdown then?
No, actually, we've always been pretty good.
So what food do you miss from over here?
Oof.
You could get one food item from here sent over now.
Mine's a Greg's sausage roll.
Mine's a tea, man. We drink about 12 to 15 cups of tea a day, and we need PG tips, and we need it now.
Can you not get PG out there? You must be able to. Sure.
You can, but it's expensive stuff out here.
It's just $5 a bag.
That is dear.
Are you Greg's vegan sausage or Greg's normal sausage roll?
Nah, mate, that's all new.
Greg's surely shouldn't do vegan food, should they? That's against their ethics. Well,
they did cheese pasties, right? Is that vegan? No.
It's not the cheeses.
Oi, Pav, can I just say, you're a legend, mate. We've never actually properly worked with you, but we've always, always loved your stuff.
Thank you.
And then Dave, mate, you're a legend.
You don't have to say that, because you bigged up Parv, you're feeling good.
Oh, please. I remember from day one in BBH, Mark Reddy taking us into his room. He used to have your Merrydown stuff printed huge on foam board and just showing us.
He did what? He had my Merrydown printed.
Yeah. I mean, Rock's room was just filled with inspiration and just awesome work. But he kind of introduced us to you there. And then we've been following stuff from the loft since day one.
I mean, have before you really?
It was oh, yeah, of course, mate. I mean, oh, before mate. It was a podcast when it was just you writing and sticking up the sketches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And all the inspiration, all the photographers are just so amazing to watch and learn about the process. Like, see we always see the final piece, we see the merry-down, final work in Reddy's room. But when you took us through the whole process of it, you see the sketches and the early talks and stuff, just so inspiring. And it inspired us actually to start. We started an Instagram feed about 3 years ago, maybe, called Hugo and Dean. And, basically just copied you.
But yeah, we just ripped us off. Yeah, no, I just spoke about that. Exactly.
Enough about us. This is about
exactly.
YouTube.
Right. I know, they're going to think, God, yeah. Yeah. So, how are you working at the moment?
Should we interview you two?
No.
I think it'd be better.
Are you still working?
Yeah. We're really lucky. We're still working. We're CDs at 72. We run Smirnoff, and we're lucky. I mean, we're obviously in isolation at home, but really lucky to still be working and doing stuff on the side.
When you say stuff on the side, like what?
Well, like we keep that Instagram feed going. So we're like, I mean, we're really keen to just constantly sharpening our tools, always learning about the craft and trying to better ourselves. I mean, we grew up in BBH London. So like, you know, the fourth floor was just dripping with creative talent. You know, we always used to joke with people. We were two doors down from John Hegarty. We had Mark, Jim Carroll, Mark Reddy, Jason Goodman, Gonzalez, Nick Gill, Rosie, you know, Alex and Adrian, Richard Kennedy, Dom, Goldman, Pepe App, like just unbelievable people. And like, we've always come from, privileged to be in advertising, privileged to be around these people and just to learn off them, man, just constantly. I mean, Dean loves to chit chat, but like, constant questions, constantly going in their room, constantly asking, how'd you do it? What's the process? Learning how to talk about it. And, I think you find if you show a genuine interest in a person, you know, you often find they're willing to talk about themselves or talk about their work. You know, that's just been a philosophy that we've always sort of held true and tried to do. And then we're doing that through our, for our Instagram account. So like right now, I guess we're probably busier than we've ever been, strangely enough, working on Smirnoff and working at 72. But there are people out there just sort of anxiously waiting around or, sort of sitting around trying to figure out what to do. So, Dean's just been constantly calling and with DMing like directors and stuff like that, and just getting on the blow and just having a chit chat with them and using this time to just find out like what makes them tick and what they're doing. And, as soon as we have an idea, then it's bang, we're on the phone with them and figuring out how, how can we do it? Can we make something?
Have you listened to Heg today?
Yeah.
This is going to be rubbish compared to that. When you can't put ours after Heggs.
Yeah, he said that. He said, it's going to go right downhill when you talk to
him. He had a quote, which is what was the fucking Martin Sorrell one? Like, no one's going to remember him, which is fucking gold. Is, I wanted to fire God. I mean, he fucking just lives on another planet, man.
So he didn't hold back. He was quite with Martin. Martin, like he's my mate with Martin. So he didn't hold back.
No, he doesn't.
We should ask you. You're drifting us all off course here. Some big time questions. So recommend something that we can watch back here in England that people might not know.
I got a fucking wicked one, mate.
Go on, then.
Called IWF, and it's on Instagram. It's called, it's basically the Isolation Wrestling Federation, I think is what it is. It's basically wrestlers can't fight now, so they're just, it's its own little thing where you just create a little video of yourself as a wrestler calling out another wrestler on their site, and that's it. And it's just all the videos of people, just being
Right.
I'm actually on it right now, actually.
But what's wicked is they call someone out, and then that someone else then will see that person calling them out, record their video of them calling, and it's just spiral. And it's like, and the creativity that comes out of it is just fucking brilliant.
Oh, really?
And it's just that it's a live thing that everyone's just like adding to, stuck in isolation.
Well, that's a quirky recommendation. What about anything to read? Have you read anything?
I got a fucking wicked one called The Godfather Notebook.
Notebook, right.
Yeah, it's absolutely monster. It's Francis Ford Coppola. It's basically his line notes for his scripts, right?
Oh, amazing.
So, like, you literally can read kind of what he's thinking on the fly, what's important. And then they'll kind of break it down to like, the way he kind of breaks down a scene to just remind him of what the most important thing is in this scene, right? It might be a 5-minute scene, but it's literally like a look between two people that kind of sends it in the other direction. I think he's just going like, look, when you're in all of the chaos of filming, you can be on sets and you can get a little bit lost as to what you're doing. Focuses. So just reading that's fucking beautiful. But everything's in there, man. It's the absolute Bible. Like, if you want to know, like, his thoughts behind the decisions behind, like, the cravat on a fucking shirt or
really,
the look to each of it, it's a stunning, stunning thing, man.
That sounds great. So you don't sound like basketball fans, but have you been watching the Jordan documentary?
Yeah, that's class, isn't it?
Unbelievable, isn't it?
The Last Dance.
Hugo's been watching, when he used to get the tapes over from America in the fucking 90s. Do you know what I mean? Like, he knows more about basketball than most basketball.
I'm more American than most Americans.
Oh, so you like basketball?
Yeah, I love the culture. I love the culture when I was growing up. It was all going on in London.
Just out of interest, who do you support football-wise?
Spurs.
Oh, Jesus, we've let another one.
Come on, man, please.
Dean, who do you support?
Middlesbrough, mate.
Oh, really? Okay.
You love it.
What a dead end. What a dead end. I've got nothing to offer you on that. Rather than, didn't you ever play Janino? 20 years ago, you had a player called Janino, and they're now out. That's it.
Yeah, Janino's been. I shot in Sao Paulo one time and go to like their local football ground, and because that's where I used to play. That's the club he played for there. And people just fucking love me because, you know, as soon as you mentioned Janino and you're from Middlesbrough, people knew Middlesbrough, which was fucking odd. So
mental.
A bit of a hero over there, you know.
I told you it was a dead end, that Middlesbrough.
Yeah. That's like 20 years ago, Janino.
Right. Do you have a thing where you'll clap out in New York or Dumbo for the health workers and the key workers?
Yeah. It's every night in New York. Every night, 7 o'clock, yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's beautiful.
And are you engaging that?
Yeah, yeah. The Le Creuset pan comes
pots
out there.
Pots and pans? Do you really? Le Creuset. Pots and pans with it?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Something nice that happens, like the Fire Brigade will come and all that stuff as well, and then they'll play New York, New York, you know what I mean? So it's a proper New York, like, it's enough to make you, like, get a bit tearful, like...
Yeah, it's mad respect. It's beautiful.
You live on Dumbo, or are you... Where do you live out there?
I'm a big elephant.
Isn't that what it's called? It's called Dumbo, isn't it? That big area?
Yeah, it's down under Manhattan, fucking
bridge. Manhattan Bridge, down under Manhattan Bridge, Dumbo. Yeah, I'm just around the corner from it, which is Williamsburg, which is kind of like the Shoreditch of Headies. And Dean, where do you live, Dean?
This is funny because I live in Long Island, right? So like, I live in the suburbs and everyone fucking takes the piss, do you know what I mean? Because I'm out in the suburbs with two kids and now I'm fucking the main man, you know what I mean? Like, now I'm the fucking hero because I've got loads of space and everyone wishes they could be out here, so...
Yeah. This one-bedroom apartment in the middle of everybody doesn't seem so smart anymore.
Thought you were cool, didn't you?
Yeah, I thought it was great, but I have got no garden and nowhere to go except for standing around.
But you've probably got access to fresh sourdough and a range of organic vegetables, I guess. So
you've got a Whole Foods near you.
A whole paycheck, they call it out here. It's just like, but again, it's just packed with people. I mean, they're like, it'll take you 2 days to wait in the queue to get in there because everyone's got to be 6 feet apart. And actually, Whole Foods isn't even open. You can't even go inside. It's too many people.
Yeah. There's a place near me that's in my back garden that has a... it's like free lettuce and tomatoes and chives and mint leaves. And every time I go, no one charges me. There's no queues. It's mental.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
So do you wear masks, you two, or not?
Yeah, yeah, you have to. Yeah.
Do you really? What percentage of people do you see wearing masks, you reckon?
About 50-50.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, sadly. But like, yeah, it's funny actually, the Governor Cuomo put out a brief just the other week to all creatives to come up with a film to encourage New Yorkers to wear a mask. So we just jumped on that one real quick. And again, it's like, go back to the old feed, but like me and Dean had a chit chat about it. We'll ask, maybe we should do this. And then he's already been chatting to directors every night. I was chatting to Ali, who's a director at Smuggler, and told her the idea. And 2 days later, we're out in the street shooting it.
You know, really? So you've done it and put it out. Where can we find that?
On Hugo and Dean.
On Instagram.
On your site?
Yeah.
On your Instagram.
Dave, I'll send it to you.
All right.
Dave, we like every one of yours, mate. Every one of your posts.
Do you? I'll try and up my likes on your... But I don't use Instagram.
We've got a post about you, old boy.
Yeah, we've got one on you.
Have you? What, recently or when we were going to meet? Back
in the day.
When we
back
first started.
Back in the old days.
Yeah, the post was do some dead die shit.
Which means do something good.
Oh, okay. Yeah, is that the translation from...
David's slightly confused there.
Yeah.
Exactly. What I mean.
we're just like, every time we're like losing it a bit and we're not really aligned with like doing something good.
Well, I tell you what, since we're talking about Dave dying shit, we might as well do the bog roll count, haven't we, Dave?
Go on, man. Or am I asking this?
Go on, you can ask it.
I'll ask this. So I'm presuming Dean's probably more stocked up living in the middle of nowhere. How many loo rolls are you currently both hogging?
I'm down at one, probably.
One.
Dave. There's not a lot of room in this whole room. This room.
So it's either a jar of coffee or a loo. Make those big decisions.
Exactly.
I mean, there's not a shortage of fucking bog roll. You go on the internet, you order it, and it's cool.
So, how many are you? You sound like you don't really want to answer, Dean. What's your...
No, I actually...
Because you're sitting on a couple of big mega packs.
Yeah, I actually, just for a laugh, I filled one of the kids' bedrooms up just with toilet roll and we use it as a fucking a cheap ball pool.
Kind of a luxury.
The dad's house is what I call it.
So tell us one thing you've discovered about yourself since we've been in lockdown. Doesn't have to be deep. Could be deep.
I actually think personally how more liberated it feels, I think, creatively. Less meetings, more making type philosophies, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like you tend to get into a thing where everyone's just kind of it's like a social club. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't miss the people as much. You know what I mean? Like, well, you know, if you want to get on the Zoom, you know, I find getting on Zooms and talking to people, you know, it's kind of the same. I mean, obviously not together, but no, I just think it's like, everyone's just has to be a little bit more self-sufficient, right? So like, if you want to get something done now, I think it's the onus is back on the creatives to create stuff. So I feel fucking very energized about making stuff and wanting to make more and wanting to like reach out to more people and build more relationships and all that. Again, self-sufficient, you know, not having to like wait for anyone to tell me if it's a good idea or we should be doing this or that. It's trying to get the ball rolling in the background and then trying to present ideas. I've already collaborated with the people I want to work with and I'm pitching ideas based on conversations with them. So I think it's kind of what we always wished we could do, really.
So you're quite pro these pandemics, these global pandemics.
Well, I'm pro just like, I think like if you look at people in their 20s, like, you know, they don't need offices to make shit. They don't need to be together to make shit. It's nice when you're together. I think having that is always going to be a good thing, but not having to travel into a fucking office, not, you know, using that time to get straight into work and just start really thinking about stuff, reaching out to people I wouldn't normally reach out to, not sitting in a glass box, expanding your mind and just trying to...
That's like, the thing, isn't it? It's not a 9-to-5 job. I mean, like Hegel used to always say, it's not an occupation, it's a preoccupation. You know, you're constantly thinking about it. You're constantly working on ideas. So that taking away the thought that you have to be in the office to have it made is quite interesting. Like when you're having ideas, get on the blower, start speaking to people, start getting it rolling, get, you know, start making.
So will you try and divide your time differently when things get back to normal, if they ever get back to normal?
I don't think they're going to get back to normal. I think this is the normal. I think we'll go back to a certain degree of getting together, but if it starts working even better than what it does now, meaning if it goes on for longer and we're still seeing progression, we're still being able to make work, yeah, I just see us building on this, right? I'm spending more time with the kids, obvious thing to say. I'm growing my own fucking food. I'm still making work. I'm reaching out to directors. I'm not having to like get 400 people on a set and just sending 2 people out and trusting them to come back with something good. Isn't that what we always wish we could do, really? You know what I mean? Yeah, the onus is a little bit more on the creatives, I think. I think we're kind of, the revolution is going to be that ideas matter more than ever. We need to trust in people more. We can't get the people on the shoot. So more onus is going to be on them. And I think when you give people that pressure, they'll end up kind of thinking a bit harder and a bit better. So I just see it being, right now it's just a beautiful thing. I know people are going through hardships, so I don't want to sound, but at the same time, I think it's liberating, especially the 20-year-olds, you know, they still need the leadership, they still need the guidance, but they've got to feel a sense of freedom, not needing...
Yeah. I think stripping away some of the layers is good, you know, like having like 100 people on set giving the director like their opinions, just, it's too much, man. Yeah. Like liberate them, give them... the brief and then let them go do what you've hired them for.
Yeah, interesting. So we've got one last question, which is name an ad that you've seen that you've either loved or hated during lockdown.
I mean, we hate all of them, right? Because they're all fucking... Well, one thing it's taught me a little bit is like, know your fucking place, right? I don't want to hear from a cheese that we're in it together. Do you know what I mean?
No, absolutely, yeah.
Like, I want to hear from a cheese that it's a good milky cheese that's, you know, going to make my cheese toasty nicer. Like, we kind of went, you know, and the thing is as well is it shows just how like lazy and eager everyone is, because they're just like, right, here's a real time we can kind of utilize, jump on and just kind of attach our names to. I've seen more like fringe stuff, I think, you know, utilizing the limitations of today. But I think I thought there was a nice one that just Wydens did, which was for Portland, which was "Don't accidentally murder someone," I think was the line.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Yeah, it's good.
For a few reasons, which is like, one, it's type-based. So I think anytime you're not honestly, you know, utilizing the limitations again, the power of the idea is the thing. And a bit of sound design. I thought you know, I like the stuff. Was it you, Pav? I believe it's you and someone else are doing a few little side things, right, with the breathing apparatus. Was that you, Pav?
Yeah, with Nick Bell.
Yeah, like, I like the limitations of that, and I thought it was pure and I thought it was honest. There's stuff out there, don't get me wrong, you know what I mean? I should have thought a little bit harder about finding something. Folk recently did an ad where they just really kind of lent into just sending people VHS cameras and then getting them to kind of really experiment with them. And again, it just, there was a lot more fresh than what a lot of companies are doing.
So it doesn't have to be a conclusive answer to that question.
We just called out your stuff.
Say no.
Yeah, we just said Pabs.
Pav. We just said Joe.
Yeah, we could edit out all that stuff and just
leave that bit.
Shout out of Pav. Yeah.
We'll just do a minute on me.
That beginning, we'll cut out all the middle. Been any good ads? Pavs. And then fade up the music.
I'll end it with that bit where you go, and all the Dave shit.
Exactly. And then drop that reggae beat on and we're done.
Brilliant. Thanks, guys. We've got
that was excellent. Thank you.
Now, listen,
I'll let you talk to you.
No, we're obviously massive fans and stuff, but
it's very kind.
Yeah, this is incredible, man. Like,
no, brilliant. Thanks for doing it.
Love you too.
I think we'll have a good 7 minutes once we cut out all your swearing, Dean. We'll have a good 7 minutes there worth of
shit.
That's that bit gone as well.
Fuck.
No, excellent. Right. That was great. Thanks for
Thank
that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, lads. Yeah, hopefully beat you soon. Cheers, all right, take care.
Bye. Cheers, Dean. All the best.